Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Kindred Group's Q3 presentation. My name is Christian Hellman, and I'm an analyst with Nordea Markets, and I'll be handling the Q&A session after the presentation. Without further ado, I would like to hand the word over to Henrik Tjärnström, the CEO of Kindred Group.
Thank you very much. Warm welcome, everyone, to our Q3 presentation, to a lovely autumn day. It's first day with minus degrees outside today, but that's more to come, and that's clearly very good for us as a business as well. We're heading into our peak season now in back end of Q4 and into Q1 and into the next year. Really encouraging. First and foremost, if we take ourselves back one year, when we presented our Q3 for 2017, we had a really strong report. We have had then low margins on sports, both Q1 and Q2, and that came back in Q3 with a margin that was the highest for the last three years at the time after free bets. Considering that, with new all-time high as we had back then in both sportsbook, casino games, total gross gaming revenues and everything, we are very happy to see that this year we managed to beat that quarter fair and square. Of course, we were assisted by the start of the quarter with the World Cup. I'll be more than delighted to walk you through the report in more detail. The outline of today, we start with highlights, then financial results, and then take a look at the business overview, and then round off with a summary. First, if we look on us as Kindred Group, which is the name we've had now since the back end of 2016, we have had no changes in our brand portfolio during the quarter. We still operate 11 customer-facing brands of those you can see here, and the top eight of them is brands that have come through acquisitions we've done during the years. We have done 12 acquisitions over the last 12 years, so that's clearly an important part of our growth DNA. First and foremost, we focus on our organic growth, and the three brands at the bottom of the picture here are brands that we have launched organically. The most recent addition, as you remember, was Vlad Cazino for the Romanian market that we launched in February. Good development across the brands and a very good brand portfolio that we're very pleased with. If we dive a bit closer into the numbers and look at some key report highlights that we had for the third quarter in 2018, we're very pleased to see that the strong activity we saw from the second quarter, as expected with the start of the World Cup in the second quarter and the latter stages that fell into the July period. We're very happy to see that we could carry that high activity across into the third quarter, and it's also converted into strong numbers throughout the P&L. To mention a few, gross winnings revenue were up 19% as reported, and that number in constant currency was 22%. Gross winnings from mobile, we had a new all-time high in that, 171.5 million pounds came from the mobile channel, and that was up 24%. Again, the mobile channel continues to be a strong growth contributor for us as a group. Also on EBITDA, and despite betting duties being up 33% year-on-year and also marketing investments increased 24% year-on-year, despite that, EBITDA increased in line with top line 19%, and the equivalent number in constant currency was actually up 24%. Even a positive conversion down the P&L in that sense. That positive development continued further down on earnings per share, up 24%. The fundamental underlying aspect here is the strong growth in active customers that were up 25% year-on-year and very close to a new all-time high in active customers. Down slightly from the second quarter, as you will see later, and that's very much as expected, but still very strong development year-on-year. Even though it seems like it was a long time ago now, because a lot of things are happening, especially in our industry and within us in Kindred Group, it was very good to remind ourselves that the World Cup was a very big event, and it fell, as always, between June and July period. These are just some numbers to mention them as we presented them also in connection with the Q2 report. The main takeaway here is at the bottom of the slide where you can see that the June margin was actually 14.1%, and the July period was 7.8%. In total, both months had margins that was above the long-term average, which of course assisting our long-term sportsbook margin development as well. The gross winnings contribution from the total event was 35 million pounds. Indeed, a very important event and the biggest event, single event that we've ever had. That was also, again, very much as expected. Again, trying to put this a little bit into perspective and to try to picture how big the event actually was. The most recent one on comparable basis is actually the World Cup previously in Brazil in 2014. As we can highlight here, on pretty much all metrics, it was a complete new ballgame in 2018, with bets placed more than doubling, up 112%. Also, transactions per day on our proprietary technology platform, we reached 35.5 million transactions on 24-hour basis during the tournament, and that's up 148% compared to the same event 4 years earlier. Also turnover up 163%, and also gross winnings revenue was up 119%. That being with a margin that was slightly lower than what we had in 2014. Overall, very strong development, and the 35.5 million transactions, happy to say and confirm that we have beaten that already now into the third quarter and beyond, as expected for us as a group who is growing very fast. On the financial results, I'm trying to put two things at the forefront of the report. We selected an item further down in the P&L. Actually, EBITDA, as I mentioned, up 24% in constant currencies, and active customers up 25%. Those are really strong numbers considering the comparables we were up against. We're also very happy to present the strong trend that we've seen over the last couple of years, that it's continuing now into 2018. We're already now way above where we were last year, and it's been consistent strong development throughout the quarters over the last five, six, seven years. Also, if we look and compare to the full-year numbers on previous years, we can see now that the trend that we're actually after three quarters are already way above the full year 2 years earlier. It's been continuing to hold now for 2018, and also that we're not that far off the full year of 2017 already after three quarters in 2018. If we look on the growth by geography, and also to highlight that now as we consolidated the 32Red acquisition from 6th of June 2017, now for Q3, it was the first full quarter with pure organic comparisons for us as a group. As a consequence, you can see here that the growth as reported, 3% growth in the Nordics and 29% growth in Western Europe was in constant currency, the equivalent numbers was 8% and 30% respectively. On this one, you can see that the Nordic currencies weakened relatively more than the euro-denominated currencies or markets compared to the pound. The end result with 8% and 30% respectively makes us confident to say that we continue to take market share across the board. Also, as I mentioned, the mobile has continued to deliver really strong results for us and a significant growth contributor for the last six, seven years. This year was no exception on this quarter. As I said, a new all-time high, up 24% year-on-year. We had 74% of the total gross winnings revenue coming from the mobile channel on 171.5 million pounds in total coming. We're very pleased with that development. Of course, we're continuing to invest and make sure that we give our customers the best possible experience wherever they want to be, and that's these days clearly on their mobile devices. Again, coming back to the FX, and not to get too stuck into the detail on that, the average movement for us as a group was around 2%. As I mentioned, the movements in the Nordic currencies was relatively larger, 9.5% against the Swedish krona, the pound strengthened, and the Norwegian krona weakened around 3%. but relatively minor movements in the euro currencies, as I mentioned. So overall, if we would have had constant currencies, top line of gross winnings revenue would have been around 5 million higher, and also the profit before tax would have been that. So slight FX headwind for the third quarter. And the positive developments that we've seen over the last years, as I mentioned on top line, we're also very pleased to report that continuing down the P&L and on EBITDA level as well. And also when compared to the previous years, it's again that this third quarter was the second strongest quarter ever for us as a group, only beaten by the fourth quarter last year when we had a truly exceptional sports betting margin. So we're very encouraged by that development, that we are actually not that far off such a strong quarter that we had last year in the third quarter for this year. So that's very positive development, and again, the trend, as we can see, that we're already now way above the full year for 2016, and we're also closing in quickly on the full year 2017. So one thing that I can ask is sort of how is this possible? What's enabled us to really achieve these strong growth throughout the P&L, considering that we have also, over the last 7-8 years, really transformed our business from being a pure dot-com operator to have a business with 42% already now coming from locally regulated markets. And off the 1st of January, when the Swedish market is re-regulating, we're expecting that number to jump quite significantly from 42% up towards more between sort of 50% and 60% at least. So the interesting element there is that you can see here on this slide, and we're really proving the scalability of our business model. And over time, if we look over the trailing 12 months to have a bit more smooth graph, you can see that our EBITDA margin over the last 6, 7, 8 years has been very stable, and it's very close to something around 23% long term. And at the same time, if we're looking at the betting duties as a percentage of our gross winnings revenue, has increased quite massively. And if we would extrapolate this curve out even further to 2011 and 2012, you would see that we came from very low betting duties percentages up to now in Q3 for the trailing 12 months of around 17%. So this is really proving the absorption capability we have as a group to really make sure that we grow top line, we keep our costs under strict control to be able to absorb the transformation that we're going through. And this is so important and something that's been really fundamental for us as a group and will continue to be in the future as well. And to try to highlight it even more and look in absolute terms rather than in margin relations, you can see here the same phenomenon taking shape, where actually if we look for the underlying EBITDA and also the betting duties, where you can see that the betting duties, again, looking at 2011 when we had 1 to 2 million for the full year, and then when we're looking at now for 2018 when we're trending towards something around 150 million pounds in a 12-month basis. And at the same time, we've managed to fivefold our EBITDA on an annual basis. So again, we're really proving that we can handle this transformation. And whilst I can appreciate and understand that people might be worried now when Sweden are coming, that it will be a big difference and a big pressure for us as a group, by these slides, I wanted to show that we have been very much able to handle this kind of transformation previously, and we are very confident that we can continue to do it also for Sweden and other markets to follow. Another thing that's really fundamental to be able to do to create this absorption ability is to keep our other costs under strict control. And as you would be aware, we have had this relentless focus for many years now. And we're very encouraged to see now that the trend that we have seen over the long term is continuing, that we have reported other costs as a percentage of our top line is growing much slower. And the long-term trend is that we're trending downwards and coming from around 12% in 13 to 9, 8, 8, and then 9 last year when we had, as we mentioned, significant investments in our infrastructure and especially our offices. And now already in 18, we are seeing a reversion to the long-term trend. Now for the third quarter, we came in on 8% of the total gross winnings revenue. Again, the long-term trend is really in the right direction and also a fundamental aspect to be able to absorb the margin pressure that was always expected to come from the transformation to locally regulated markets. The positive development is continuing down the P&L, also all the way down to EPS and of course, shareholder value creation. Now for the first nine months, we had 0.406 per share, and that should be compared to 0.516 for the full year of last year. Again, here we have the second-best quarter ever for us as a group. On business overview, and one of the absolutely fundamental aspects of growth for us as a company has been the focus on growing number of active customers rather than growing the average revenue per user. This quarter was no exception. As I mentioned, it was completely expected slight drop in activity from Q2 to Q3, but still 25% up year-on-year. Again, if we look over the long-term trend here and compare sort of from 2011 to 2012 into year-on-year into 2018, we have a compounded annual growth rate of number of active customers of 25% year-on-year during that period. At the same time, if we look on the ARPU, it was now 2% over time. Again, very much happy with that and just confirming that we have a more sustainable way of growing our business by focusing on growing actives rather than ARPU. The sports betting margin, it came in on 8.5% after free bets. Again, to be fair, it's above the long-term average. As I mentioned, the World Cup clearly had an impact both on Q2 and Q3 this year, again, as we expected, and that's been the trend over the last major tournaments that we have seen a margin contribution from those tournaments adding sort of upwards to the sports betting margin. The long-term average is still around 7.2% if we look from 2011 to 2018. Again, for the first three quarters this year, we have come in above the long-term average. Again, if we look back as recently as Q1 and Q2 last year, it can also be below the long-term average, of course. In the trading update we gave this morning, if you would back calculate the margin there, you see that for the first 24 days, we had a margin of around 8.75%. Even if that's, again, higher than the long-term average compared to Q4 last year, as you can see here, when we had 10.5% margin after free bets, it's lower, so we're up against really tough comparables. Again, we're very happy with activity and trend, and long-term, we still believe that the margin is something around 7%, perhaps slightly over 7%, but around that level. This means that the split on product and geography for our gross winnings revenue is as follows. Sportsbook now with, again, a high margin, came in on 48% for the quarter, and casino and games also 48%, and the remaining is split between poker and bingo in the other segment. The split by geography quarter-on-quarter, no changes really, just small changes. Over the year, though, if we look back to Q3 last year, the trend is continuing where the Western European markets, especially considering the population sizes in those markets, has grown faster than the Nordic markets, completely as expected. For us as a group, now we have the split where the Western European segment is 56%, Nordics 34%, and then CES region going up from 7% to 8%, and other segment from 3% to 2%. Very stable development quarter-on-quarter, and the long-term trend is the same as it has been. We also, last week, had a very important event on a topic that's very close to us as Kindred Group, and it was the Sustainable Gambling Conference. We're very happy to host this for the third year running, and especially this year was the first time ever we had the event here in Stockholm. For those of you who could not attend it, we wanted to give you a little bit of a flavor and also encouragement for what's coming and the only event that might be coming up next year. This is just a really brief summary for you to watch. It's very pleasing to see so many people coming here and putting focus on the important issue of sustainable gambling. So it's really encouraging.
Kindred is one of the largest online gambling companies in the world. Their event, the Sustainable Gambling Conference, invited more than 200 people from the industry, not just operators, but regulators, treatment professionals, and researchers, with the slogan collaboration to improve.
The research has been done around about 1% of people are problem gamblers, and even amongst that, only a very, very tiny percentage are addicted to gambling. But I've never seen any research looking at social gambling that said it's bad in any way.
So please go in on the sustainablegambling.com to find more information and also keep updated on development in this really, really important area for us as at Kindred Group, but also for us as an industry. To go in on another topic that is also very important for us is, of course, the regulatory developments across our markets. And to mention some of them here, Sweden, Netherlands, France, and Italy. In Sweden, their development has been continuing towards an opening of the system on 1st January next year, 2019, with 80% tax. And, of course, we have applied for a license on one of the early submissions. We submitted a very full and complete submission, and we got a lot of credit from the Swedish Gambling Authority on our submission, and we have had no requests for further information or clarification. So we are very much working focused towards 1st January, and we will be ready when the market opens with a good offering for our customers in a very sustainable way. So that's very encouraging and clearly a milestone for us as a group who has been in existence now over 21 years. And clearly Sweden has been a core market for us throughout the period and will continue to be as well. So we are very positive and optimistic about our opportunities. And as I mentioned, we're very confident as well that we can handle the margin pressure coming initially from the increased betting duties. But it will also give us the opportunity to compete on more equal terms with the incumbents, and that will be very positive for us and give us a good opportunity to increase our market share over time. In the Netherlands, there has been not that much development apart from the fact that there's been a third round of question now in the Senate, and as we understand, those will be discussed on the 16th of November, and hopefully there will be a vote scheduled either though then or soon after, and hopefully that vote can happen now in the back end of Q4 or very early in Q1 next year to be able to keep the timeline. As we still believe it now, the earliest time that the Netherlands could introduce a regulatory re-regulation is around Q3 2020. But there is a risk that it could be further delayed beyond that as well if this timeline for the rest of this year and early next year is not kept. In France, the privatization of France is continuing. What was expected to come in Q4 this year has now been pushed into Q1 with the PACT law, and the details on how that will take shape is starting to take shape, but it's still some unknown, so we have to get back to that at the later stage. And in Italy, it's not been much development since last time we met, and the advertising ban is still expected to come into force from June 2019, and we're all following developments around Italy from both the political aspect but also in this topic as we go along, but there's no news to really be reported on that compared to last time. Another thing that's very much on regulatory update and a very interesting one is, of course, the U.S. And again here. A lot of things are happening, and we are very active. We have a very strong team locally on the ground and also very active and participating. As we've said before, it's potentially one of the largest markets globally, and it's clearly a huge opportunity for any company within our sector, and Kindred is no exception to that, of course. We took a decision already last year that we would be going live in the U.S., and we were working methodically towards that. The thing that's really acted as a catalyst here during 2018, of course, was the Supreme Court repeal of PASPA in May, and that's really acted as a true catalyst for events and states to come. So that's been one of the fundamental drivers of activity, and we've partnered with Hard Rock for getting a license in New Jersey, and we've also signed an agreement with SG Digital to get swift access to the market, considering that that's a platform that's already licensed and operational in New Jersey, which gives us a fast time to market. And of course, we're also working with our own platform, and the long-term ambition is, of course, that we would be live globally with our state-of-the-art technology as well. But to get swift access, SG Digital gave us the best opportunity. And of course, there's a lot of developments happening pretty much day by day in the States, and sort of the roadmap is taking shape. And if we look at some industry experts, Eilers and Krajicek, and we look on their estimates on states to come, it's quite a few states that has been available and has come available now during 2018, Nevada, Delaware, New Jersey, Mississippi, West Virginia, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania. And so those are clearly more on the sort of the a few of them are up on the sort of the eastern, northeast part of the states. But then in 2019, of course, there's expectation that more states will come, and it's more around the mid of the states and around Illinois and Indiana and Iowa, Michigan, Montana, and Oregon being more on the west side of the country. But then, of course, from 2020 and beyond, there's also some of the very large states that are expected to come as well. As I mentioned, we have a very strong team dedicated on the ground with an office on Manhattan, and we are really approaching the market through that office, and we are in constant discussion with potential partners, stakeholders in the states to come, of course, in addition to what we've already done in New Jersey. We have a very methodical way of approaching our business overall, and have always had. And in that sense, as I mentioned already in connection with the second quarter presentation, this in a sense can be seen as another 40 to 50 countries in Europe to come. And of course, we can't be in every country in that sense. So we're trying to really be quite selective of where we go and where we see a sort of a good fit for us for the longer term. And it's a lot of things still outstanding, and a lot of things are unknown, but of course it's a huge opportunity when the single largest, potentially largest market globally is coming through this transformation, and we want to take part of that. But it's more information to come, no doubt, in the coming quarters from us. So if we summarize the third quarter, very happy with gross winnings revenue up 22% in constant currency, sportsbook margin after free bets of 8.5%, the positive trend, as I mentioned, on down the P&L with a good conversion, EBITDA up more than top line at 24%, and the same for EPS, 24%. Active customers up 25%, and the gross winnings revenue for mobile was also up 24% year on year. So strong development across the group from Kindred. That concludes the presentation. I invite Christian back up for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. I will start off with a couple of questions. The first one on your ability to absorb betting duties. That was a very interesting slide that you had in your presentation. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, you did say that you're very confident that you will be able to handle also the Swedish betting duties. At least in the long term. Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a hit in Q1, I'm pretty sure. But could you elaborate a bit on that? Are you sort of alluding to that long term you believe that you will be able to fully absorb the Swedish betting duties as well as you have done in the past with previous betting duties and keep the margin, the EBITDA margin around 23% points?
Of course, that will be a challenge, but we're up for challenges as well. And as you can see on these slides, we wanted to highlight that we have been able to absorb the 42% we've done to date and going from pretty much zero to around 150 million pounds per annum and still five-folding the EBITDA development over the last 7 years. We're very happy with that development. But of course, when we get a relatively larger market for us as Sweden is and will be, and then as the short-term impact is, of course, as you say, a sort of an impact on the EBITDA and the margins. But with this one, we wanted to show that we work with a lot of different variables within our equation as a group to be able to pull the levers and pull out stops and adjust and correct so that we can absorb as much as possible. And we're very confident that over time, we will, in absolute terms, come back to where we have been and increase from there. And we're also having a very broad portfolio as a group. We mentioned already last year that no market was above 20%. And even if we put Sweden somewhere between 10% and 20% and with an 18% betting duties, it's for us as a larger group, it's still more manageable if you put it into that perspective than if we would have all our business in Sweden, of course.
If we stay with Sweden, what will be the mitigating factors when it comes to absorbing the betting duties? Of course, you have some underlying operating leverage in the business, but if we look at payment terms, revenue share deals with sub-suppliers, what can you sort of work with to sort of mitigate?
And again, we're already today operational on 11 licenses on the local license basis. So that also gives us confidence that we have done this many, many times before. So in that sense, it's nothing new. And from a tech point of view, of course, we're working very hard to prepare for Sweden. But again, that's no news. And we have created a proprietary platform that is adapted to handle these kind of re-regulatory projects as well in a very efficient way. So no doubt, as you mentioned, the betting duties will come. Some of that we will clearly share with our suppliers. That's the way we have negotiated our contracts over the last years to be able to share the burden with them. But then, of course, also we expect the entry barriers to be lifted quite substantially, which should mean that certain of the relatively smaller operators will come underwater. And some people have estimated that it could be quite a bit of market share that could flow back to the relatively larger operators in the market. So we're expecting, even if the Swedish market has been quite open from a media perspective, that it will still be a stimulus in the first year or so, as we saw in Denmark. And so growth will be slightly higher than it has been, which should also assist in the absorption of the betting duties over time. We're already today, considering that the media landscape is relatively open, the reinvestments into marketing we're having in Sweden is not far off the sort of the group average. So in that sense, we're not expecting a major need to sort of lift marketing reinvestments.
All right, great. And changing the subject to Western Europe, you grew by 30% organically in the quarter. Could you perhaps highlight a couple of markets? I mean, we know that the UK has been sort of a trouble spot for many operators the last couple of quarters with this source of wealth rule, which has impacted VIP activity primarily. So I'm guessing you're also having more of a difficult time in the UK, perhaps. But could you elaborate a bit on the UK and what other markets are sort of picking up the growth to 30% in your Western European segment?
Yeah, as you say, we are no exception in some ways regarding that with the source of wealth. Of course, we're doing that, and we are already had been doing that on some of our brands, and now we're doing it across the board, and it's something that we are fully supportive of from what the UK Gambling Commission is asking for, and we are really leading the developments in that area as well. But also we to remind ourselves, we migrated our Stan James database onto the Unibet brand in February, and that has
even though we're very confident that that's the long-term strategic right decision to do, and we've seen some very positive numbers coming out of that. As expected, we saw a slight drop in the activity initially, but we're seeing the positive trend is picking up on that migration. The 32Red brand has been going through a bit of a change in the database for the reasons you mentioned, but it's been growing well as a brand, and it's a very strong brand in the market. So we're very happy with the developments there and what the team has done. And the 32Red team is completely behind the sort of the long-term developments of the U.K. Gambling Commission as well. So we are the U.K. market for mainly for the sort of migration of the Stan James into Unibet. We've seen it more being sideways this year, but with 32Red's been growing, and also we see very positive signs, and we're very confident that what we have done on the Unibet brand now is also gonna be really beneficial when we're coming into sort of early next year when we're preparing more like for like. So overall, U.K. doing well, and we have high expectations on that going forward. The other markets in Western Europe is also developing really strongly across the board. We have strong developments in Belgium, also Netherlands, France, also Germany has been doing well from, albeit from relatively low levels. So it's large populations in these markets, and they are really big from that point of view. So, and it's markets where we've some of them where we've had a relatively less presence previously, like the U.K. and Germany kind of thing. So those are contributing to the growth, but it's good development across the board.
All right. And just a question on the U.S., which is quite interesting.
Yeah.
You're opening up there in Q1,
mm-hmm.
I understand it. Could you elaborate a bit on sort of your expectations for that market? It's 9 million people.
Mm-hmm.
In New Jersey, so it's roughly the size of Sweden.
Yep.
In terms of gambling spend per capita, I'm guessing it's lower than perhaps the European average right now, at least the legal market.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing offshore, but could you elaborate a bit on sort of what you see in New Jersey going forward? I mean, there's a lot of players also entering the market.
Mm. No, as you say, it's a market broadly around the size, population-wise, as Sweden. Of course, the betting patterns has been historically slightly different with a more of a land-based casino presence, much bigger than we've seen in Sweden. So as you say, it's a bit different. We've clearly been following developments of New Jersey already from 2012, when we looked at it, if we should have gone in already then. But at the time, we didn't see the business case as attractive enough, and initially the numbers didn't develop as strongly as perhaps had expected, so we're happy with the decision we took back then. But as I said, we already took a decision last year, prior to PASPA being repealed, that we would put our foot on U.S. soil and be operational in New Jersey at some point. And that's what we really executed on that plan, brought it forward perhaps a slight bit due to PASPA, and it's been encouraging to see some of the trends now in the last couple of weeks regarding sports now and the initial numbers coming through from that. So we know that we have we're clearly experts in the online gambling space, and from that perspective we know that we can bring some good experiences to the U.S. market, but we're of course also humble and aware that business is local, and we need to address the U.S. market in U.S. fashion, and that's what we're doing with the team on the ground and everything around it. So it's a little bit too early to talk about numbers. Let's see when we go live and what the initial reactions there, and hopefully at the time of the Q4 report in February we can get back to you on some initial numbers to start with, and then also hopefully we have more information about the roadmap into the U.S. and some further developments there.
All right, we'll wait for that.
Okay.
Great. Do we have any questions from the audience?
Hi, good morning. Mikael Lafayette, Carnegie. I have a few questions. Maybe we can start with Q4 trading.
Mm-hmm.
You compared the start with the full quarter this time. But can you say something about October last year? That was, I guess, even better than 10.5%. in sportsbook margin terms?
The quarter last year was strong in October, little bit less so in November, and then strong again in December. So the overall was 10.5, and October was not far off that one last year. So, but we felt it was more appropriate to compare to, considering how strong the margin was over the full quarter, and that people will probably be expecting how we were comparing against that rather than the initial phases. So that's why we choose the daily average over the full quarter. It wouldn't have been a massive difference if we were to compare to the first 24 days.
Okay. And when it comes to sportsbook margins, longer term, now you've been at this high level for quite some time, and do you expect, I guess that you suggested that we should expect a mean reversion to take place?
I think it's too early to tell if it is a really long-term structural trend. It doesn't take more than two quarters until the investors and analysts are saying, is this a structural change? And as we saw early last year when we had Q1 and Q2 lower margins, then is this structural now? Would it be lower now? And we said, no, we don't see any pattern in that really. It could revert to the long-term average, and it did. Over the full year. So I think you have to look over a 12-month cycle. As it's trending now in October and for the full year this year, it looks like we will come in quite a lot higher for the full year as well. Again, as we have the World Cup in the middle of the year, that's clearly assisting that to some extent. But then also the structural changes we have in the group and the country mix as well is also having some impact on pushing that long-term average upwards. But then again, with live betting taking a bigger share, which has an inherent lower margin, there are some elements that should be pushing it down as well. So I think it's still too early to tell that we have a long-term, significantly higher margin than we've had historically.
Okay. Do you expect, if that were to happen, that you can compensate for that from increased stakes, activity being higher?
Mm-hmm.
If the dynamics working like that, do you expect that to materialize?
Of course, when we get higher margins, the important thing is for us to have a really good offering to our customers and rather optimize the long-term margin than to maximize it. So, in our sense, we really want to optimize it to make sure that we have a good customer experience, so that that the customer is also feeling that they are sort of having a chance at winning and also doing that from time to time, which we indeed saw in the early part of last year, and we see it from day to day now as well. But the long-term trend, of course, is to compensate the margin with a really good growth in turnover and activity, and that's what we've done. And now with the third quarter, we had a new all-time high in turnover from Sportsbook, and that's a really positive thing that we've had, and we've seen continued strong activity now into the fourth quarter as well, as expected when we come in with a higher base from the peak season in Q2 and Q3.
Okay, and just one final question. I'm curious about the full year comments that you made before on marketing costs. Can you say something about that and what you expect for 2019?
Yeah, we came in now on around 25% for the third quarter, and the guidance that we continue to iterate is that for the full year we should come in a couple of percentage points below 30. It might be on the lower side of that, but it's still also a lot of moving parts now with Sweden re-regulating and also when we look at other potential markets and entries and what we have and the mix for us as a group. So the important thing is that as long as we see a really good return on the marketing investments we're making, then we are very minded to continue to be on a rather higher level than we could be, because we know that growth is so important and scalability coming on the back of that. So we are in the middle of doing the budget process for 19, so it's a bit too early to tell what 19 will bring. But long term, we have been around this sort of 25% to 30% now as a group, and I think if anything, that's where we will be also for 19.
Any other questions from the audience?
Mattias Lundberg, SEB. I'm a bit curious about the expansion in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Has it started to
be visible in costs thus far, or should we expect some costs for that expansion going forward?
As we're doing it more on the third-party platform right now, we have not taken that anything internally in that sense. Of course, we have the team on the ground and some smaller costs in the scheme of things, and we're also looking at potential media partnerships and stuff for New Jersey, of course, to be able to have a good mix when we go live in early next year, and that will come. But right now, it's more of the build-up stage, so nothing in the numbers now, and we don't expect much in sort of Q4 either for that point of view. And then from Q1 and onwards, when we can also offset it against some revenues, of course, as well. So for us, this is nothing new in a sense. It's more like going into a new market like we have done many times before, albeit on a new continent and with new challenges when it comes to setup. But we have a good working relationship with our partner in both the casino partner and with Hard Rock and also with SG on sort of the setup for New Jersey. So I think that's looking very promising, and we'll get back to you with more detail when it's set in February, when we have something more concrete to talk about, but nothing right now.
Great. Thank you. And I'm just a bit, I interpret you as that it will be quite light on fixed cost then, initially at least. But how have you managed to build a team there? Have you a regional office? How have you done hiring? Have you transferred managers from London or hired locally?
It's a combination of both, actually. The head of the U.S., Manuel Stan, has been a long-standing employee for us as a group and developed really well throughout the company, and he's perfectly suited to take this role for us in the U.S., bringing the expertise from Europe, working in many different fields within the commercial department to take the lead on our efforts in the U.S. And then he's been building his team there with a combination of local resource and also continuing to second from Europe. And of course, us as a group, with having over 1,400 employees, we have a wealth of experience to draw from in all different areas of the online business. So we're seconding throughout whatever is needed to do that. But of course, we're also keeping a focus on not expanding too fast in a sense. But we're confident that we have a good balance.
Okay. And just one more. The new main office here in Sweden, have you concluded the move to that office?
Yeah, on the 8th of April, we will be moving here in Stockholm for the wider audience. But now that's going to be a sort of an important step, especially for our tech organization that is predominantly based out of the Stockholm area. And that will be a big step forward also for that part of the business to get into state-of-the-art facilities. And we're expecting good things to come from that when it comes to both acquiring and retaining top talent also within the tech area to be at the center of gravity for tech, where it's been developing now around this area of Stockholm. So looking forward to that.
All for me. Thank you.
Great. Let's take a few questions from your telephone conference.
Thank you. As a reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 01. Our first question comes from the line of Martin Arnell of DNB Markets. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Henrik.
Good morning.
So I just briefly on this structural margin, sportsbook margin development. I understand you sort of don't want to talk about the structural increase, but you said it could perhaps be slightly over 7% over time. Was that mainly due to country mix, or is this anything more you can say about it? And also, aren't there things also that could push it down in the future?
Yeah, as I said, and as you allude to, there's a lot of moving parts within the sportsbook margin that some push it upwards, like the country mix, but also the fact that as we grow larger in our core markets, the kind of marginal customer tends to be on a slightly higher margin customer. But also, as you say, there's other aspects pushing it in the other direction when it comes to live betting share, which has been picking up over time. And that has an inherent lower margin as well, and also that when we're increasing payback ratio to our players to offer them a better experience, that is also clearly having a downward pressure on the margin. So Again, margin is what it is, and it's the important thing, as I mentioned, is about the sort of the optimization of margin and the combination, of course, with turnover to make sure that the sort of the gross winnings revenue element is growing in a sustainable way for us as a group. So again, it's very much about trying to optimize the margin rather than maximizing it.
Okay, thanks. Great. And then just a follow-up question on the ahead of the Swedish regulation and these discussions about the mitigating factors. What do you expect in terms of customer acquisition cost development in Sweden next year and the overall market growth the first year?
As we saw in Denmark, we're expecting that it will be, even if I appreciate that citizens of Sweden are sort of getting a bit bored with gambling advertising already now, I think you can only expect that for the start of next year and perhaps throughout next year, it will continue to be a very high pressure on marketing from a lot of different operators. And then I think it will start to sort of calm down a little bit over time, as we indeed seen in Denmark as well. So that will stimulate the market, which will mean that we have a sort of a potential to reach out to a wider customer audience. And of course, at the same time, when the marketing pressure and the sort of the need of share of voice is increasing, the cost will probably also go up a little bit. So it's a little bit too early to tell. We have a big benefit, though, that we've been present in the market for 21 years. So we have also historically a very large database that, of course, we will work very actively with to try to reactivate like we do all the time. But we have an advantage in that sense, and we also have a very, very strong brand in Unibet, but also in Maria and some of the other brands with Storspelare and the other brands that we operate on the Swedish market. So we're very confident that we have a good mix and a good position, and being a sort of a clear market leader behind the state monopolists as a group, we have a good opportunity to benefit from the opening.
Okay, thanks. And when it comes to these bonus constraints in Sweden compared to how it looks right now, shouldn't that sort of risk to slow the casino market growth at the first stage?
It's a little bit too early to tell, I think. Again, having strong brands in the market should be a big asset to have in from that perspective as well, and also having a big database. So it should be strong. Let's see what it will be and how it will pan out. But that's the structure of the regulated system, and everyone should adhere to that. So that's what should go.
Okay, thanks. And just a final question on this subject: how well prepared for the Swedish regulation do you think you are, cost-wise? Are you planning any restructuring or cost measures to protect the margins next year in Sweden?
I think we're very well prepared, as I mentioned, both from a technical point of view and being at one of the largest groups globally, and for a market like Sweden, and we can use that scale to deploy it in the Swedish market as well. But of course, also from a positioning and communication and sort of responsibility point of view as well. We're definitely one of the sort of the most sustainable operator on the online side. So I think we have huge wealth to draw from there, but we're also sort of expecting to continue to put new efforts into that area to make sure that we rather distance ourselves and really make sure that we grow faster than the overall market.
Okay, perfect. And the final, just a nitty-gritty question on the October number. Can you say anything how sort of big October usually is as a month in Q4?
Yeah, it depends a little bit, of course, depending on the margin. But October is when sort of the peak season is, when every league for the winter sport is sort of starting to pick up. Also, the true winter sport is coming on, and then of course you have the Champions League starting and all the things around that. So October is sort of strong, but so will November and December in the lead up to Christmas, with the sort of advent calendars and stuff like that coming as well. if there's anything, it's normally sort of a slight decline at the sort of from the middle of December when it's drifting into the Christmas period. If anything, peak season perhaps more October, November, and then early parts of December for Q4, which is again, the fourth quarter is normally a sort of on a new level compared to the prior three quarters in the year.
Perfect. Thank you, Henrik. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Rasmus Engberg of Handelsbanken. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Henrik, and the rest of you guys. Wanted to ask you, without taking the shine away from anything that you have done, but one of the, you know, very contributing factors to managing the increase in betting duties was acquisitions. And you don't have any debt today. How do you sort of look at the potential to make acquisitions during to 2019?
Yes, of course, the acquisitions has played an important role on sort of lifting the sort of number of active customers, but it's first and foremost has been the sort of the growth organically that we've had very, very strongly, and then we've added strategic acquisitions on top of that, 12, as I mentioned, over the last 12 years. And if that's anything to go by, it will continue to be an important part of us going forward as well. And we, as one of the larger operators, we, as I said before, we get continuous proposals for potential acquisition opportunities, and having this strong underlying organic growth gives us a good pillar to sleep on, and we can be quite selective when we look at acquisitions. But there's more to come in that area for sure, and also when the need for scale and consolidation in our industry is very much here and now, so that will also put logics in that direction. So we will see when we have something more to communicate, we'll clearly come back to that, but it's based on history, it's been an important part, and I wouldn't be surprised if it continues to be going forward as well.
And then on the regulatory side, there is quite, but in the UK, it seems pretty much a done deal that there will be a tax increase announced in the UK budget. Is that something that you know anything about, or what are your anticipations with regards to that? I know it was flagged earlier that it was possible that there would be a tax increase.
Yeah, we are clearly very much involved in the discussions around that, and as we understand it, we've seen some publication around it, but as we understand it, as of yesterday, there will be some form of announcement, perhaps on Monday next week, when there will be hopefully a little bit more clarity around this sort of dynamics. We're very firm from the industry point of view what the risks are as well if there is sort of an increase on betting duties for the online side. Considering the channelization challenges that will bring compared to changing on the offline side, which is more fixed and more tangible for the authorities as well. So it remains to be seen what it will be. I think we have to wait at least until Monday, and then we'll see what it will be over time. But as I said, we as an industry are working very focused towards the authorities on trying to make them realize the challenges of just increasing online rates or tax rates and with the consequence that channelization could be quite negatively impacted by that, and that's in no one's interest to sort of push customers outside the system, and that's been one of the absolute strong points of the British system, that it's been very high channelization of 95% or even above. And that's been coming due to a sort of a sensible tax rate and also sensible operational terms for operators and for customers to interact with operators, which has resulted in this high channelization. So it's something that's everyone in the industry is clearly watching quite closely.
And I think we're all a little bit confused about why you changed the way you talk about the October figure. With the old definition, is it fair to say that the organic decline would have been bigger than what it is now? Is that
we're talking about single percentage points, if anything, so it's nothing more than that. It's just we thought it would be fairer to compare to over a full quarter, considering how strong Q4 was last year overall. That's mainly the reason. As I said to Mikael, it's no drama. It wouldn't have made a big difference.
I think it's a really good thing that you have started to give indications on the betting margin. Obviously, that reduces the uncertainty a fair bit. That's all for me. Thanks.
Thank you very much. It's also important to mention there that it's still only 24 days out of the 92 that we're comparing with. It's a relatively short period of time, and that's important to remember that things will change depending on the rest of the quarter as well, of course.
Thank you. We have one final question from the line of Lars-Ola Hellström of Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Henrik. It's Lars-Ola here. To start with, sportsbook's turnover in the quarter, it was strong. It actually grew sequentially from the second quarter. Is this mostly an effect of the World Cup, or is it an effect that you have a good customer intake that stayed during the quarter and played a lot in August, September?
It's a good point what you mentioned. Of course, it's assisted by the World Cup, but the later stages of the World Cup in the July period is relatively fewer matches. Also this year, as you saw, we had the final not going to extra time, for example, has had a calming down effect on turnover. It's basically that we're coming into the autumn season with a higher base as expected, and we've been able to keep the activity into the peak season. It is continued strong turnover in the later stages. That's really encouraging, and it's completely as expected. We see that every year in connection with a major tournament, that we really build a database during the summer period, and then in the autumn, we come in with a higher base, which is resulting in a significant uptick, and we're getting payback on the marketing investments that we've done in both Q2 and Q3.
Given that betting duties as a percentage point declined sequentially, it must be other markets than France that is seeing strong growth as well?
Yeah, we have strong growth across our markets, so we're very happy with the mix that we have. It's been very positive.
Okay. Casino in the Nordics, it has been quite slow for a number of quarters now. We saw a slight sequential uptick. You have launched a BankID solution now. Have you started to see a better momentum of the casino operations in the Nordics?
Yeah, as I said already in connection with the Q2 report, we have of course seen the developments in certain of the markets. Of course, there's not only one specific thing that's resulted in this perceived weakness in the numbers, but rather a few rules on the country mix and different challenges in certain markets there as well. Overall, we've taken a lot of actions on measures that we have been seeing really positive effects of, and that's starting to come through already now in Q3, but also now into Q4 when we're seeing the activity now for the peak season. We're very confident. As I said, with BankID, we've had that for identification for a long time, and also now we have it had for registration for some time as well. Now, of course, also with the certain payment solutions that we've had, but we're putting them into a more prominent position when it comes to fast withdrawals across the brand portfolio as well. We're very optimistic about the future. I'm very confident that we are seeing good developments coming here.
Okay. About U.K., we have seen some of your competitors losing out in the U.K., but can you say something on aggregate in 2018, have you been growing in U.K., or is it sideways?
I haven't given any number on that, so I can't comment in detail. As I mentioned, The strategic decision to migrate the St. James database onto the Unibet brand, we're very confident that was exactly the right move to do, albeit short term. During 2018, it means that it's a bit more of a challenge to sort of on comparables. But the 32Red business, as I mentioned, has continued to develop really strongly, especially considering the sort of the change in the mix of the database of customers and the required source of wealth questions that had to be asked to the database as well. So overall, it's very positive on the developments for the U.K., and it will be more easy to look at it from sort of early next year when we're comparing more like for like.
Okay. And to follow up on some of the questions on the structural sports margin, we know there is higher margins in France, and you're staying competitive on, for example, the Premier League odds, et cetera. But I guess your odds is one of the most competitive. So as you grow in France, shouldn't there be an upward pressure on the margin?
Yeah, it is, and it should be, and it is the same in pretty much all our markets when we are, as I mentioned, when we're getting sort of deeper and deeper into the databases in the respective markets, the marginal customer tends to be on a slightly higher margin than the previous one, by default. So that also has an upward pressure on the margin in that sense. So it is the same dynamics as I referred to earlier.
Okay, moving on to 2019, and the cost side. First, marketing costs. There will be a lot of competition in Sweden, and you will start to market the brands in U.S. Should we expect the same marketing cost to sales ratio, or will it be higher?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we are just in the middle of the budgeting process for 2019. It's a little bit too early to talk about that here and now. Even I don't know it in some ways. But of course, we have an idea where we're heading. And as I said to Christian earlier, I think we have what we've had in the last couple of years is something to go by, and Mikael asked it as well, that's the trend that we're seeing, that as long as we get a good return on the marketing investments we're making, then we are minded to continue to keep a relatively higher pressure than we perhaps could have, because it's so important to keep momentum up, and we will continue to do that. So if anything, as I've mentioned, it's sort of looking at it from a similar perspective to what we have done, and to be fair, somewhere around sort of the guidance we're giving previously is probably not that far off.
Yeah, but you don't see that you need to raise your marketing investments in Sweden from current levels?
As I said, we have a relatively high marketing reinvestment percentage in Sweden, sort of around the group level. So we're not, and the size we have as a business as well gives us confidence that we are there or thereabouts. And we have such a broad portfolio of countries. Of course, when we have the Swedish Elite Football sponsorship coming up from 2020 and beyond, that's sort of a relatively bigger ticket item that we need to create space for as well. But of course, we're also expecting the market to grow quite well now with the re-regulation coming, and we would expect to rather take market share than lose it in Sweden. So it's important for us. We won't suboptimize sort of market share gains from marketing investments point of view. So we're building the business for the long term.
And finally, on other costs in 2019, is it reasonable that you will be around 8% or lower, or you will build the U.S. operations, but can we still be at 8%?
We'll see when we get to it. It's a little bit too early to tell. It depends on so many different parts. Of course, as you said, we're already showing now with the scalability we have that the investments that we've done in the infrastructure during 2017 is starting to pay off, and we get the sort of back to declining percentage of other costs on top line. And long term, that's clearly the trend. Of course, as you mentioned here, the new office in Sweden will have somewhat upward pressure. For us as a larger group, though, it's clearly within our plans to have handled that in a very, very good way. So it's about the overall long-term trend I think you should take care of or think about. And in that sense, we should be on these levels or actually slightly coming down, because we need to create space for for further margin pressure from betting duties, as I mentioned as well.
Yeah. I actually have two more questions. First, the possible tax hike in UK. When do you think it will be implemented? Already in 2019 or 2020?
We will see. Hopefully we get more information on Monday on the timetable of that. Of course, ideally it doesn't happen at all, but it's way too early to tell, so we'll have to get back on that.
Okay. And finally, have you handed in a license application for Spain?
We are working on that one, as we mentioned already in sort of Q2, around that level, that it's an interesting market, and the window will be closing now middle of December, and we are working on that as we speak.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. I guess that concludes the Q&A session, so I'll hand the word back over to you, Henrik, for some closing remarks.
Thank you very much, Christian. No, thank you very much for coming, and of course it's extremely interesting times for us as a group, and as I try to convey here, and we as a team are very committed and confident that what's coming up now in Sweden is very much business as usual for us, and of course we also see very good opportunities coming for us as a group across the globe, and where we are today with our footprint, if we look ourselves some distance into the future, I'm very confident we'll be in even more places than we are today. So that should give us a good opportunity not only grow in line with the online market that's growing much faster than the offline, but also to have more additions from new markets to come, like the US indeed, which is part of the plan. So thank you very much for coming, and looking forward to see you in February.